This is Hannah Lazar, and I am fortunate enough to be on the phone with all the band members from The Sugar Report. Hey, guys.
Hello. Hey. Hola.
Take your turn and introducing yourself and saying what instrument you play.
Hi, I am Curtis and I sing and play guitar for the Sugar Report.
I am Joe Zine, I am the drummer.
I am Eric and I play the keyboards.
I'm Terrence, I play guitars.
And I'm Alex, I play bass.
All right, you guys. So you just are coming out of a photo shoot, right? And you added two new band members. How's that going?
Good. It went really well. It was a long day, but I made it through.
Shots, we think. And, our new keyboardist, Eric and Alex, are working out very well. We're going to ask for better two guys, so.
Oh, that's great. So, your music has been described as kind of a Morrissey meets Interpol type of sound. How would you guys describe it?
That's a pretty good, description. I don't know. I think musically, for me, I kind of like just take a little bit of from everything that I've listened to coming, like growing up and the bands that I was into when I was younger and now, and just kind of like mix everything, because I think our sound is like continually developing, and I think eventually, you know, hopefully when we do a full length and we actually can do a full range of songs, there's going to be a really big mix and a really good blend of music, and it's not just going to, hopefully not going to just sound like one particular thing. It'll be like a good mix of everything, but that description is good, I think. I mean, those are both two good bands, and Morrissey is pretty much one of my biggest idols.
You can't complain about being compared to Morrissey. Also, I think the full length show a lot more versatility.
Yeah, definitely.
So, can you describe how songs come together for you guys? For example, is there a primary songwriter? Do you jam things out? How does that work?
Well, originally, I wrote a lot of stuff on my own and then kind of would bring it to practice and would show everybody like what I had come up with, and then we'd make, you know, cuts and alterations from there. But as of late, we've been doing a lot of basically just putting stuff together at practice. Like somebody has an idea and we just kind of riff on it and build a song from there, so, which is really cool, because I don't like being like the only person to write stuff, and so it's good when everybody comes together and has their say on what they're going to do and what they're going to put to the song. But that's pretty much how we do it. We just kind of get up and jam out stuff and it comes out.
So, as a band, when you're playing live, what gets the best reaction from your fans when you play? Which song?
Just the song that gets the best reaction.
Sanity, right?
Maybe For My Sanity Alone. I think most of our songs, a lot of people band.
Yeah, those are rough.
So let's.
I would have to say My Sanity Alone, or Man, I Used to Be. Pretty good responses.
But we haven't really actually played out yet some new material, which I think is gritty?
Pretty much the bomb.
The bomb. These songs are the bomb.
That sounds so, you know, 90s, you guys.
We're bringing the 90s back, man.
We're bringing 90s back.
That's right. Especially, you're bringing back that Morrissey sound, right?
Yeah. Somebody's got to bring it back, right?
Yeah. So let's talk.
Bring it back, Creed.
It's changing, too. We're all getting combat boots, and we're going to wear plaid shirts, flannel shirts, stuff like that. Right, guys?
Yeah.
90s all the way.
Cheers to that one.
Yeah. Grunge.
Good.
I agreed we were going to put a CNC factory in music.
So let's talk about that song you mentioned, "The Man I Used to Be." How did that come about? Because for me, I think that that's one of your fan favorites, so to speak. It gets the most response from your fans, anyway. My question is this talking more about your early years growing up or before diving into the musical world, or neither?
The song is basically, it's kind of like when you, well, for me, I got the title and the whole premise of the song from kind of when you look back at, like, photos from when you were younger, and you have, for me personally, like, I have, like, friends in these pictures, and, like, we're having a great time, and then I kind of, like, don't really, you know, keep in touch with them anymore, and I don't really speak with them anymore, and it's kind of like you look back and you kind of like reflect on that and remember like the good times. You kind of like, for me, I missed them, and you know, it's just kind of like about that. And then you just kind of look at yourself and how you were and how you are now, and it's kind of like just a reflection of like your life, kind of. And I guess it's not a negative song, or it's nothing bad. It's just kind of, you basically, you miss somebody and you miss like the way it was, and you kind of wish like those times could come back, but then the same light, like you have to move on and make new times and new good times and have fun, and I think just live life.
I think anyone that's ever made the jump from a smaller place to the big city can relate to this song. I mean, everybody can look back at the photographs of where they're from, and
it's definitely, yeah, for sure. It's like a, you, because I come from Virginia Beach, which is like really small kind of suburbs, and then you know there's like the ocean front, and there's not a whole lot there. It's really close-knit, and then you come to the city, and it's like a completely, you know, it's a big 180, and a lot of a different, you know, vibe going on. But at the same time, when you look back at those pictures, it kind of, like, brings back those memories and a lot of those friends that, you know, that you don't really keep up with anymore, that you miss, and you wish you could keep up with them, but unfortunately you can't. So, it's so far away, and other than that, like, they've moved on, and some of them have kids now, and it's weird, you know, it's kind of like a reflection song, I guess.
My favorite too. I mean, of course, I like your other songs as well, but I think you guys have really got something going on. But that song really rings true with me as well. I don't know. I think anyone can relate to it that's been through their teenage years, maybe, just in general.
Yeah. It's definitely a song that I think anyone can relate to. Anyone that's picked up the rap bring back a certain memory, and then they just kind of like start reflecting on those people in the picture and the places that you were, and like how everything has changed since then. And you know, I don't know, and like I guess you sometimes feel like maybe people think that you've changed, and then you kind of think to yourself maybe that you know, I for me personally, I kind of feel like I'm still the same guy that I was, like, you know, in that photograph. But then you look at yourself and where you're at, and then you realize how much of a change you've gone through, and it's kind of about that. But I really appreciate that you like it so much. That means a lot.
Oh yeah. And so you guys have been, you know, for a couple years now, been mainly playing in New York City, and you mentioned that a couple of you at least are not originally from New York City. Are some of you from New York City?
None of us really. Yeah, none of us are originally from.
Yeah, two of them are Terrence and Alex are from the West Coast, and me and Joe are both from Virginia, and Eric's from Dallas.
Dallas, Texas.
Oh. Howdy.
comfortable in the house.
So, are you guys liking the city now, then?
Oh, I love it. Best place ever.
Two of us didn't intend on living here. Just kind of came here, and it, sometimes people come to New York for a vacation. It turns into a lifetime, you know?
Yeah, I came up here for a party, and I ended up living here.
I came here for a summer, and just went back home, packed some bags, and came back.
Right. Three months before I moved up here, I swore I'd never move up here. Here I am, 2.5 years later.
Well, that every time I go to New York City, it's just so alive, you know, and I can just see myself living there, you know, anybody can really, but it's different once you live there for a couple years, then you probably can't live anywhere else, so. Yeah. So.
Definitely
a
city, man.
Yeah.
It's hard living in the city, but at the same time, so damn worth it.
Yeah. Where is your favorite place to play there?
I think our favorite place right now would probably be Hero.
Yeah, Hero. Hero's a really good venue. As I said when we played there live, it's a really sexy venue. It's got a really awesome look, and I don't know. It's hard to describe it unless you've been there, but it's definitely a really cool spot.
That's a good term.
It brings sex. Definitely. But Piano is a really fun spot for us to play, and the Annex. Probably those three places are, I would say, top on our list.
Oh, great. Did one of you say it brought sex?
No. I think we're a little bit better, you know, looking at that. It's a really sexy place.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's
everyone is sexy, though.
It's a sexy atmosphere.
It's a very sexy atmosphere.
It's kind of like sex when you walk in there.
So, where do you see your music moving in the future?
Hopefully, writing more and more songs that sound very diverse and going from one sound to another and being able to pull it off and sound like us and not... be pigeonholed and not be stuck in one certain sound, because if you stay in one spot and you just kind of get, you know, stuck there, and then you can't really veer from that path. And I want to be able to go, you know, in all different directions and still sound like us. And hopefully that's what we'll do and be successful at it.
And still be able to make the fans happy. You always want to write stuff for the fans.
A fan question is, do you have any plans to tour throughout the U.S. and possibly Europe?
Yeah, hopefully very soon.
Within the year.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it's hard to tour with no huge funding. So, you know, I think it basically relies on us being hooked up with the right label for us that'll let us continue to grow as a band and get out on the road and reach those people. Because, I mean, of course, any band that the band wants to go tour and play, you know, across the country and go, you know, to Europe, and you know, that's a dream. So hopefully for us that happens soon. But you know, California would be great. We have a lot of people online that really love us out there, and we have a lot of hopefully a good fan base that will come support us. So yeah, we definitely want to get out on the road as soon as possible.
It'd be nice to do that soon, actually. It's pretty cold, right?
Yeah. It's freezing in New York.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here in San Diego, and I'm freezing. I'm just a wuss now, because I'm originally from Seattle, so now it's like, you know, 60 degrees, and I'm cold. It's ridiculous, but we're
60 sounds. Yeah.
60, you got me in a little swim trunks landing in the backyard.
Exactly. You want to show us swim trunks, actually.
Josie and swim trunks is hot.
So, you guys, speaking of getting labels' attention and funding and all that, you know, a lot of bands recently have been talking about how music is moving and changing in the future. You know, more and more record stores are going out of business because a lot of people are downloading their music and choosing to go, you know, to websites or iTunes or things like that, and not really purchasing the physical CD anymore. So basically that you know, opens the doors for a lot of amateur mixers to, you know, use products in your garage and do a lot of the things that you would be doing in the studio. Have you guys thought about that and how your music will develop and how you reach your audience through the internet versus reaching your audience through record stores?
Well, yeah, well, nowadays, pretty much the only hope pretty much is the internet, because whether you have a record out, you know, for sale, a record store or not, either way, people are going to get it. Nowadays, it's so easy to download music, which a lot of bands are completely, you know, fine with, but label-wise, or label, you know, if they're not selling much records, you know, it's pretty much going to get dropped on the label. And to say that it's, you know, like, it would be all right to download a CD or not, it's, either way, it comes back to you. And, like, so for instance, like, 10 years ago, like, the records, like, sales for, like, a lot and lots of big bands have went down 65%. And a lot of, like, record labels are actually merging at this because they pretty much, you know, they can't afford, like, pay the bands what they want. So that's why, like, a lot of bands stick with, like, indie labels and don't go to major labels because, there's no room, they're not offering much money, and it's, like, limited. And, you know, and they're not doing anything about it to stop, like, from downloading music, you know, off the internet, like, let's say for, like, LimeWire or whatever. But it's, like, they're not doing anything. They're just like, okay, that's fine. And then it's not fine for you, you know, like, comes back to you. And then it's, like, and if they could do something, make it to where you can buy a song for, let's say, 50 cents instead of 99 cents on iTunes. That way you're still, you know, the label's still running and you're still going.
That's right.
It's a lot of, as far as online goes, it's helpful and it's hurtful for bands, but at the same time, if you're selling your music online and you're just downloading offline, you miss, like, the layout aspect of a CD, and you miss, like, the whole graphic element of a CD, which, for a lot of people, I know that's not that important, but I think for most bands, like, a really important thing that they're going to have to learn to do is, you know, hopefully when they get out on the road, hopefully when we get out on the road, is merchandise a lot and sell a lot of merch and hopefully come up with, you know, clothing designs that are appealing to people so that they will buy them. You know, it's stuff that you physically want to purchase that you can't download. So as far as music goes and downloading online, you know, it's going to happen. There's no way to really stop it. I just think you're going to have to hopefully promote it a little bit more on your end and try and make money off of it by selling it yourself online. So
I think that also there'll always be something romantic about buying an album and opening it,
yeah,
looking at
definitely.
The artwork,
yeah.
And the layout,
yeah.
And, you know, all of the things that go with getting it.
Hold it,
and
like,
exactly.
Yeah, that
you
whole,
can't do that on,
you
know,
yeah, you can only look at it.
That whole liner note generation, I wish it would come back. I remember being a kid and going to the record store and, you know, buying vinyl and just having that record and just reading every single note and, like, where it was recorded and whatnot, and just, it made you really love that band and get to know them that way. Now, if it went towards just downloading online and just having this static information, is like kind of just seems so impersonal. Loses your connectivity to it.
It sort of alienates the band from the fan.
Exactly. It's hard, and like I was saying, nowadays a lot of, like, labels are, like, merging together and firing people. Like, for instance, our friends, like, Interpol, they were on Matador, and they decided to sign to a major label, which is Capitol. And then as soon as they signed to Capitol, Capitol fired 47% of the people that they had after it merged. And, like, now it's, like, scary. Like, what do you do? Like, what do you think? Like, are we down on the list now? Is, you know, Ashley Simpson gets fed first and Yaya and...
record industry and music all together, it's, like, a very hard... You never know what's going to happen 5 years from now. The pendulum could swing back, and buying LPs and vinyl could be the next cool thing. So you never know. It's hard to say, but you just have to write good music and hope for the best. You know what I mean?
Well, you're right. I mean, the pendulum does swing back and forth. It's just moving toward a real digital age right now. And when it gets to the point where it's reached it, you know, people have had enough with it, then they'll go back and see. They'll go back, you know, history cycles. But, you know, what you said earlier with, you know, band merchandise, etc., You know, that's a good way to promote album art. If we could come up with an idea other than just t-shirts and stickers to really promote the album art and how it's associated with the music, then maybe we can touch on the younger generation that I believe is really gonna lose out on a lot of the feelings of what it's like to open up a CD and look through it. Yep. So
because you don't even, if you download every record you own, like, you know, when I was a kid and listening to music, and I mean, I still do, whenever you, it's cool to sit down and listen to a CD and actually read the lyrics, you know, along and figure out what the singer's speaking about and where he's coming from, as opposed to, like, kind of guessing at what he's saying, because you don't have the lyrics and you don't have, like, the imagery that comes with the CD. You just, like, downloaded it off of LimeWire or got it from your friend or some BitTorrent site. So, you know, I think it's cool to have that ability to download music like that and be able to find artists that you may not have ever heard about. But at the same time, like, I think if it's something that you really like and it's a band that you're really into that you found online, I really think you should go out and, you know, support that band and maybe pick up their CD or their LP and actually look at what they've put out and, like, what they've wrote and what their CD looks like, because that's part of the music too. It's not just the songs that you play on your iPod. It's the imagery that comes with it.
Yeah, the image goes hand in hand with the music itself. I mean, how many times do you put on an album and are immediately reminded of the album artwork itself? Like, yeah, I mean, I go through lists of albums that way for me, especially, you know, when I was younger.
Yes, definitely. I think that'll start coming through more because people will start missing it. So, you guys, when you have your album completed, are people going to be able to order it, you know, snail mail off of your website and download it off of your website? Have both options?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, good. So that you'll be keeping it real, so to speak, huh, when you finally get your album. So when...
I think it'd be great if we'd even get a deal to be able to, like, get them printed on vinyl, because I'm
vinyl.
I'm a true vinyl. I've got rid of their vinyl collection. I'm holding some fragments now of all of my vinyl. I'd love to have our record on vinyl.
Well, yeah, and you know, San Diego, we have a big San Diego record show every 3 months. I don't know if you knew about that, but they're one of the people we interviewed. You can find them out on our website, piratepods.com. But they're real big promoters of vinyl.
I used to scour all the record shops there. Do you remember Blue Meanies or Octo Records? Blues up in Encinitas. I used to spend all my time.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I know it's on the peak of your evening there, and you're just out of a photo shoot, and I really appreciate you guys coming together and having this talk.
Well, we appreciate you having us.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, and for all of you fans out there, hang tight. We're coming for you. If we do, when we do, we will do.
Woohoo! And when you come out here, I'm going to definitely see you. That's for sure. Before you go, can you please all give me a big R for Pirate Pods?
R!
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.